How can I preach without a song? I am so grateful to be with you today. Pastor Burkett, thank you for the hospitality. You know, many times when my wife and I like Roseanne to stand up so that everyone will meet her. You know, when you come to a church, you wonder what kind of reception we as missionaries will have. And when we came here yesterday, Pastor was all smiles welcoming us. And this morning as I came in, so a few people told us that they have been praying for us. What a joy to come and feel welcomed and feel comfortable among the peoples of God. And thank you for your support. You know, tonight I will be showing an 8-minute DVD. When you supported our ministry, actually you invested in our ministry. And tonight, during the 8-minute DVD, I told Pastor that even when I finished putting that DVD together, our ministry moved even further. So tonight you will see the what we're doing in the Middle East. As you know, as I told Pastor, if it's bad, you only hear bad news from the news. But nobody likes good news there. But we do have good news, and God is still working and saving many souls. Tomorrow night, Monday night, I will be preaching a very different kind. As I tell them, I'm preaching out of the box. And the title of my sermon will be America, Israel, and the End of the Days. Now, you will be hearing this sermon from a different perspective. And I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to say. You have to come and hear me because it will not be live streamed, okay? But I believe it will be a blessing. We have many answers. Do you know that we may be the last generation before the rapture? Well, if you want to find out, you have to come tomorrow and find out about that. You know, finally, I have mentioned, I have written 2 books. One book is entitled Islam Made Easy. Now, you know, this book started its journey from Tennessee, but I taught the course at West Coast Baptist College. And even though what I did when I started writing the book, I noticed that there were too many pages and too many words. So I took all the unnecessary words in order not to waste your time reading a book on the religion of Islam. Now, this is not a book for everyone to buy, but you know, Islam is are moving to our country, and we have seen what they are capable of doing during the Democratic Convention and beyond that. So this will give you answers not to hate them, because God loves them, but to understand them so that if you meet a Muslim, you know what he believes in and how to communicate with him. And this book is, I only brought 3 books, but if you want more, I can ship them to the church and will be distributed. My wife is my secretary, so she's the one who you have to give the money to. And this book is for $15 for anyone who would like to have it. The second book is, you know, on this trip, I will not have a chance to share my testimony. So one day I was in a church and I shared my testimony, and the pastor's wife came to me and said, Brother Figali, have you considered putting your testimony in a book? I looked at her, I said, no, but I will consider now, think about it. So I wrote the script, gave the script to a young lady, and this lady, as she was reading the script, she had tears in her eyes. Now, what part of the book made her have tears, I'm not exactly sure. But after she read the book, she gave the book to her father. Her father read the script and said, this is a script worth printing. And the father's name is Dr. Paul Chappell. So this is how this book came about. And I promise you, now, if you are not the type of person who reads, you don't need to buy this book. But if you are like my wife who reads all the time, you know, this book will intrigue you. And I promise you, if you start reading it, you will not stop. How do I know that? From the people who read it. But also I have a friend, he used to be special forces, and he was in Beirut, Lebanon, when the pro-Iranian terrorists attacked our embassy. He still have a shrapnel from the explosion when they attacked in his skull. So I gave him the book and said, "Brother, this is my gift to you." 2 days later, he called me back. He said, "Brother Edgar, I started reading your book, and at 7 o'clock at night, I had to put it down by 1:30 a.m. because I needed to go to sleep." So this book will be a blessing. And the reason I wrote this book is to thank America and thank people like you who supported missionaries. And the missionary came to Lebanon and led me and my family to Christ. You know, many times you give to missions and you don't know what your money does. But in this case of this missionary, he came to Lebanon and led me and my family to the Lord. And this is my expression of love and gratitude to the churches in America. Now, how much this book cost? $20. It cost $20. But during this mission conference now, we are going to give you a discount. You can buy it for $15. Okay? We only have 26 of them. After the 26, the price will go up to $20. So if you buy it, and since I am here, I will be glad to sign it for you if you like to get it. You know, this morning, I would like you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans at chapter 10. Romans at chapter 10. And by the grace of God, I will be reading verses 14 and verse 17. And the title of my sermon is, "Why Should We Be Involved in Missions?" In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, Paul is speaking here. Paul says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" What Apostle Paul is saying is that there has to be a preacher. There has to be a missionary. Somebody has to go carrying the gospel and sharing the gospel with the people. Why? In verse 17, Paul says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Somebody has to go there. There has to be a preacher who preaches the word of God. Now, there is a gentleman, a pastor, by the name of Bud Calvert. In July 15, 2013, he wrote an article. In his article, he says that there are 7 billion people present on planet Earth. That was in 2015. And he said, in every 5 person is a Muslim. 1 in every 8 persons is a Hindu. 1 in every 10 persons is non-religious. 1 in every 20 persons is a Buddhist. And then his conclusion that 2 billion people on planet Earth have not heard the name of Jesus. When I read articles like that and statistics like that, sometimes my feeling, my attitude, is that when I look at these staggering figures, I realize that the need is so great. There is a great need because there are so many people who never heard the gospel, and sometimes we may look at ourselves as insignificant compared to the need. And the biggest question that we face is, should we be involved in missions? Should we be involved in missions? Well, this morning I'm going to give you 4 reasons why we need to be involved in missions. Number 1, we need to be involved in missions because Christ commanded us to be involved. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said, "Go ye into, therefore, and teach all nations." In this command, Jesus commanded us to do 3 things. Number 1, he said, disciple them. Number 2, baptize them. And number three, teach them the word. Now, it's interesting that in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Lord Jesus uses a different word in his great commandment. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, in Matthew, he says, go and teach. But in Mark, he says, go and preach. Now, is there a difference between teaching and preaching? The answer is yes. And these two words complement and complete the mission of the church and the missionaries. What's the difference between teaching and preaching? Well, teaching deals with doctrines. Teaching deals with systematically dividing the word of God so that the believers can discern between true doctrines and false doctrines. But preaching deals with building, with edifying, with challenging the children of God, rebuking the believers so that they will faithfully follow the Lord. So if I want to summarize the Great Commission, I will summarize it as follows. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel to every nation and every creature. When we look at the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, the question comes in our mind is, how can this be? We are a small church in the middle of the United States. How can we reach the world? Well, the answer is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 14, Paul tells us that the Philippians supported him. As a matter of fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, and 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 7 through 9, we find out that the Macedonians were poor people. And they were not only very poor, but they were persecuted, and yet they gave more and beyond their abilities in order to spread the gospels. The Bible says that the Macedonians gave according to their power or abilities, and beyond their powers and their abilities, even though they were poor and they were persecuted. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to give according to our abilities and beyond our abilities? Just imagine the Apostle Paul was a missionary. He was like any missionary today. Paul went from one country to the other. He preached the gospel, planted churches, left some of his men behind to train and ordain and organize the church, and moved on. Just imagine Apostle Paul came to this church, and he shared with you about God's blessing among the Gentiles and how God is saving souls, as I will be doing tonight and this morning in my sermon. Now, one of the brothers in the church come to Apostle Paul and say, Brother Paul, thank you for telling us what you're doing among the Gentiles, and I believe that God is using you. So God has put a burden upon my heart, and I would like to give you this $20. Take it and use it as needed for the promotion, for the expansion of the work of the Lord. When this brother gave Paul $20, that did not require a lot of faith. He already had that $20. So when he gave Paul, he gave according to his ability. But then this brother looked at Apostle Paul and said, you know, Brother Paul, I appreciate what you're doing for the Lord. The Lord is burdening my heart to give $100 toward your ministry. But Brother Paul, I don't have at this moment, I don't have that $20. So I will make a commitment that as soon as the Lord gives me the money, I will send it to you. Now, this requires faith. So when he gave the $20, he gave according to his ability. But when he made a commitment unto the Lord, that was a faith promise or a commitment by faith, trusting that the Lord will provide the money. Well, as you support missionaries, you will reach the world at the same time as you reach your Jerusalem, and at the same time you can reach your community and the world. Now, why should we be involved in missions? Number one, Jesus commanded us. Number two, we need to be involved in missions because of the necessity. Because of the necessity. In Romans chapter 9, verse 1 to 3, Paul says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness or burden and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. This statement by Paul reflects the attitude of the missionary and the pastor and the evangelist. You know, this was, Paul says, I am willing to go to hell if my going to hell will lead my people to go to heaven. What a statement made by Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This ought to be, or this is the motto, the creed of the missionaries. Bible says that all men are sinners. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that men are sinners by nature and by action. And that's why our heart's desire is for them to be saved. As a matter of fact, Bible gives us two facts about the unsaved. Number one, Bible says that the devil has blinded their eyes that they may not come to the truth. When I was a teenager living in the city of Beirut, Lebanon, and by the way, Lebanon is on the border of northern border of Israel. I used to be a member of Independent Baptist Church, and as a teenager, near our church, we used to have a school for the blind people. And I used to go and visit the school and visit the blind. And after time, I began to admire the blind people because they were the people I met were very smart, and God gave them tremendous insight. So some of them went to the American University of Beirut, and the American University of Beirut would be equivalent to Harvard in America. All people came to that university to study, and they used to ace their scores. They would listen to the lecture and remember everything and make an A in their test. You know, these people were very smart. Yet when you deal with the blind people, you discovered that they are limited. Even though they are very smart, but they are limited because they cannot see God's physical creation. For example, you talk about colors. A blind person doesn't know what a color is. What's the difference? You talk about beauty or even shapes or trees. They cannot imagine it because they were blind. And the Bible says that man, okay, is spiritually blind. Now, you know, the fact be spiritually blind, that doesn't mean that he is not intelligent. And if you are not saved, you can be the most intelligent person in America today. You can make billions of dollars. You can be the richest person on planet Earth. You can be very smart, but that you're still blind because you cannot see God's spiritual creation. You know, you talk with the unsaved about the new creation. He doesn't understand it. The power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the gospel, is blind. He cannot understand any of that. So that was the problem of Israel in the days of Apostle Paul, and this is the problem of Muslims today, because they are blind. They cannot see the grace of God or the power of the gospel and understand the eternal life with Christ. That's why the Bible says, open my eyes that I may behold wonder things out of your laws. So number one, the Bible says that man is a blind. But also the Bible says that the devil not only blinded the eyes of man so he cannot see the creation of God, but also man is dead in trespasses and sin. You know, a dead man has no life in him. A dead man cannot do good and please God. Now, a person may say, I am better than the other people. I am baptized. I give to charity. I go to church. I help the poor. I am a good citizen. And, you know, because he does a lot of good works, that doesn't make him live. Now, because he is better than the criminals, this doesn't make him live. Because he is without Christ, he is dead. You know, a good example is, Jesus raised the three persons from among the dead. That one, Tabitha, died, was few hours dead when Jesus gave her life. The second person is the young man of Nain. He was one day dead before Jesus gave him life. And Lazarus was 4 days dead before Jesus gave him life. Now, Tabitha cannot say, I am better than Lazarus because I am less decayed. She is as dead as Lazarus. You see, people think by doing good works, they will be pleasing unto God. But in order to please God, you need to be alive. You need to be alive. You know, Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me tell you this. If you are not born again this morning, if you are in this place here and you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, you are a sinner and you are on your way to hell. You may say, preacher, you offended me. Well, excuse me, this is not my words. I did not write this. These are the words of God, and it is God who said the wages of sin is death. What you need is to come to the Lord. So in order for a dead man to receive life, he needs to hear the words of Christ. The same words that gave life to Tabitha and to Lazarus can give you life today and this morning. The question is, do we have the word of Christ? These words that gave life to Tabitha, do we still have them? The answer is yes. The very words of the Bible are the very words of Christ. And the words of the Bible need to settle in your heart with the power of the Holy Spirit. And by opening your heart to the Holy Spirit, he will give you eternal life. This is what's happening all over the Middle East. This is what's happening all over the world. I just received a message from somebody. He said that by the year 2030, China, the number of Christians in China will be larger than the number of Christians in the USA or Brazil. Now, how can this be? Because they are hearing the word of Christ, and the word of Christ is settling in their heart. So we, in order to give them life, we need to reach the heart of the unsaved in order to give them life. And this leads me to another very important fact. The word of God is like a seed. You see, the word of God is like a seed. Look at the farmer. The farmer have a bag of seed. You put the bag of seed on the shelf. Will it produce life? The answer is no. But take that seed and plant it in the farm, and it will produce life. The same thing with the Bible. Take this Bible, put it on the shelf. It will not give you life. But take the Bible, open your Bible, and share the gospel with different people. What will happen? The Bible will settle in the heart of that person and produce life. Why should we? Why is it necessary to go and evangelize the world? The answer, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Number one, why should we be involved in missions? Number one, Jesus commanded us. And by the way, this command is not to your pastors or pastor only. It is to every child of God. It is our duty to carry the gospel, beginning with our city and America. America needs the word of God today more than any other day, and reaching the world. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Number two, because of the necessity. Now, man is dead. Man is blind. And we have what it takes to open his eyes and give him life. And that's the word of God. Number three, why should we be involved in missions? Because it is your destiny and my destiny. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, the Bible says, "For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. My brothers and sisters in the Lord, the privilege of preaching the gospel is not given, was not, and is not given to the angels. I imagine the angels in heaven go to Jesus and they say, "Lord, we know who you are. Lord, we were here when you were born of a Virgin Mary. Lord, we were here. We saw you preaching and ministering to the people. Lord, we were there when they took you to be crucified. Lord, we saw you die on the cross, buried, and shed your precious blood for the sins of the people. Lord, we were there when you rose again in the third day. Lord, send us. Send us so that we can tell the people about you." And Jesus looks at the angels and say, "No, I did not die for you. You don't have that privilege. The privilege of carrying the gospel is to the humans whom I saved by my blood. It is your destiny. It is your privilege and my privilege." In Romans chapter 10, verse 15, Paul says, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I like that verse. What is Paul saying here? He's saying not only our hands that carry the gospel are beautiful, not only our lips that utter the gospel are beautiful, but our feet are beautiful. Now, what makes our feet beautiful? Our feet is beautiful because it is our feet who takes us from one place to the other, so that our hands will open the Bible and our lips utters the word of God. It is my feet that takes me to the Middle East, whether to Iraq or Lebanon or Syria or Egypt or North Sudan, South Sudan, so that my hands will open the Bible and I can preach the word of God. And God is saying, not only our hands and our lips are beautiful, it is our feet who are also beautiful. But here is something very interesting. In verse 18, Paul says, "Their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the end of the world." Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Now, what does that mean? Just imagine, Pastor, your pastor is preaching, and what Paul is saying, his sermon that he's preaching from behind the pulpit will be echoed all over the world. How can that be? You see, it's very simple. You support my ministry. My doctrine is the same as your doctrine. You support other missionaries. I preach in the Middle East. Others went South America or Europe, whatever. When your pastor preaches the word of God here, 7 hours ago, all over the Middle East, preachers of Christ preach the same sermon, the same doctrine, the same gospel that your pastor preached from here. So his sermon is echoed all over the world because a church like your church invested in missions. And that's what Paul said. He said, "Their sound went into all the earth and their words into the end of the world." As you preach and reach your Jerusalem and Judea, the church support missionaries to reach Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Why should we be involved in missions? Number one, Jesus commanded us. He said, "Go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." Number two, because of the necessity. People are dying. They are dead and blind. And we have the means to open their eyes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Number three, because it is our destiny. Jesus saved us in order to go. And number four, we need to be involved in missions because it is our priority. It is our priority. Paul is in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Bible says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." What is Paul saying here? What is he trying to tell us? Simply, Paul is saying that he, in his life, he had two priorities. The first one is to finish my course. That's the first priority, finish what God called me to do. Number two, to testify of the gospel of Christ. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus saved us. He adopted us. He sanctified us. He made us holy. He glorified us. He made us royal priesthood. Not only that, actually, he made us kings and priests unto God his Father. And then he gave us a very important mission. Jesus said, "I want you to go into the world and tell them that we have a message to you from the Lord Jesus Christ and from God." Now, what does the message says? Go and tell them that God says, "Come now and let us reason together." Tell them that God is telling you, saying to you, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Go and tell them that God has commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us on the cross. Tell them that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says that my priority is to finish the course, that is to testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ and of the grace of God. What should motivate us to reach the world? The fact that we are servants. Why should you give sacrificially to missions? Because you cannot go. You see, you give to missions so that people like Brother Figali and others can go into the world and reach the world with the gospel. Paul says, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." You know, we are in debt to the grace of God who saved us. And we are in debt to give or to go so that other people will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You probably remember the name Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs used to be the CEO of Apple Computer. He was a very smart man, very rich man. But at the end of his life, he had cancer. And he wrote an article. In the article, he said, "I hope there is a life after this life when I can use my talents. I hope there is life after this life where I can use my talents." When I read that, in my heart, I wish somebody told him that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I hope somebody reached that man and told him that Jesus said, "I am the door to eternity. I am the door to heaven." You know, how many people today, even living in America, and they have not met the Savior or heard about the Savior. Oswald Smith, and I'm sure you have heard that statement many times, he said, "Any church that is not sincerely involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist." You know, by the way, when I look at America, I am both American, but also I am Lebanese. So when I go out of America and stand in the Middle East, I thank God for America. Because churches like this one, who are not sophisticated, you're not very rich, but through giving and praying, you turn the world upside down. If America did not exist, nobody in the world would have heard the gospel. Because British Empire did not last very long. And even Britain now is a mission field. That did not last very long. It is the Baptist who carried the gospel into the world. And you know, as Oswald Smith said, any church that is not sincerely involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission, praise God for the Independent Baptist of America, because you did help the Great Commission and reach the world and continue to reach the world with the gospel. Robert Moffat said, I have seen at different times the smoke of 1,000 villages whose people are without Christ, without God, and without hope in this world. I wish I can show you the picture, but they are disgusting. In Sudan right now, there is war. You don't hear about the war. Last Sunday, before I preached, I received a text from Sudan, a picture, and in the text and the picture said, right now, because of the war, there is a new virus spreading across Sudan. The virus is a flesh-eating virus. My wife could not see it. It's so many people today without Christ, and they need the gospel. C.T. Studd said, some wish to live within the sound of a chapel bell. I wish to run a rescue mission within a yard from hell. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? You cannot go, but you can give. And if you give, you're my partner. We are equal. The Lord is going to thank you for the souls who came to Christ, because you historically and today you are giving to the work of the Lord. In 2013, I was in a church like this one. And in the middle of my message, I was so excited. I said, in 2012, the civil war in Syria, the country of Syria, began. If you don't know where Syria is, you will not embarrass me if you came afterwards to ask me where is it located. But, during the civil war, that civil war killed about 600,000 people. People, churches wrote me, said, Brother Feghali, we have no food. We are in hiding. We need medicine. Can you help us? So I sent a letter to the churches, and the Lord enabled me to raise $12,500. Well, I received the amount before the sermon, so I was so excited. I said, praise the Lord. We were able to raise $12,500 to send them to Syria so that they can buy food and medicine for their children. Well, after the service, I was standing at the door shaking hands, and a man came to me with a smirk on his face. He said, Pastor Feghali, did you hear yourself this morning? I said, what do you mean? He said, you said, and you were so excited, that you raised $12,500 to help the Syrian people with food and medicine. Dr. Feghali, Syria needs millions of dollars. What are you talking about? $12,500 is like a drop in the big bucket. What are you talking? What are you proud about? I looked at him. I said, you are right. Definitely the Syrian people need millions of dollars, and I'm not the Red Cross to raise this kind of money. But then I looked at him. I said, you see that person who will be healed because we bought him the medicine and we bought him the food, that child will be revived because we bought him milk and food, that old person or old lady, because she was dying and we bought her that medicine, to those people, the $12,500, the $12,500 will be very significant, will be very significant. I cannot help the whole country, but I can help a few people who your money, your gifts, will help them and heal them and rescue them. You know, this beginning my sermon, we look at the magnitude of the need across the world. And when you look and you see the how much there is a need for missions, you may look at yourself and say, I am wasting my money by giving to missions. It is my $50 that I give per month or $200 or whatever I give. It's insignificant compared to the need around the world. But you know that person who will hear the gospel, because of your $100 or $50. That woman who is dying, and just before she died, somebody reached her and led her to Christ. So she went into eternity with Jesus because of your love, your prayer, and your giving. Now, we cannot meet the demand of the world. Somebody else has to do it. But that 50 or 100 or whatever money you commit unto the Lord. And by the way, this is one gift nobody will thank you on planet Earth, because nobody will know how much you gave. But that's one gift. When you go to heaven, Jesus will come and thank you for giving to missions. Jesus will see how much you will put when you put down on a faith promise, because it is you're giving it directly, not to your church as much as to Jesus Christ. You see, whatever you give, it may not affect the whole world, but it may affect the life of 1, 2, 3, 10, 20, 100,000. These people will make it to heaven because of you. And when we go someday, when the trumpet sounds, and we go to heaven and stand before the Lord, many people from all over the world, millions of them, will come and say, thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for investing in missions. Because of your love and sacrificial giving, I have made it to heaven. Because the Bible says that there will come people from all over the world, from every language, every tribe, will make it to heaven. Because somebody like you who loves the Lord cared to give to missions. Let's bow our heads to pray. First of all, I wonder, are you saved this morning? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're not saved, would you raise your hand and put it down? If you like to accept Christ, would you raise your hand and put it down? Anyone here would like, I would like, Brother Fegali, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Before I pray, my prayer is that the Lord will use you as a mission giving in a mighty way. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great commission. Thank you, dear Lord, because you did not just call us to go, but you gave us the means. You gave us the power. You gave us the message. And then you said, go and tell them. Lord, I thank you. It's not my message. It's your message that I am carrying into the world. I pray, dear Lord, that you bless our pastor and his family. Bless every member here. And may this mission conference be a very special one this year. In Jesus' name I pray.